we are. Acts 5, we'll be reading verses 1 through 11. Familiar story to all of us. Acts 5, verses 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the spirit. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the spirit. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the ecclesia, and upon as many as heard these things. Again, the title of my subject, Who We Are. The first few verses of this chapter that we just read seem pretty fundamental to us. Thou shalt not lie. And the consequences of their disobedience. Similar to like in the beginning, when Eve lied, the consequences were given. But we know there are a lot of lessons here for us that have an even more profound impact for us, that should cause us to look into our own lives, into our own characters, and into our ecclesia, our husbands, our wives. The couple was agreeing to deceive Yahweh, and their punishment happened right in front of the ecclesia because their lust burned inside and their greed and their selfishness was not to be tolerated anymore by God. You have the courageous Peter standing up for what is right. What a great characteristic to have. Courage, bravery, faith, determination to do the things he and the other apostles did. No weakness, but not offensive. We can see the long suffering of God dealing with sin and obscurity. And we know he is not willing that any should perish, and his mercy even continues unto this day. Are we better? Are we any better than Ananias and Sapphira? We better be, or we will be cut off too. Turn over to Psalms 94. Psalms 94, starting at verse 11 through the end of the chapter. The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, My foot slippeth, Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. You know, also in these first 11 verses in Acts, we have recorded the first sin in this first century ecclesia and the judgment that was delivered to this certain man, Ananias, and his wife Sapphira. And we know Ananias' name means Yahweh hath been gracious. And for Sapphira in the Greek is sapphire. In the Aramaic means beautiful. Sapphires are next to the hardness of a diamond. And they are used for cutting, and they are also used for inscribing, and also for polishing other gems. And we can see this over in Lamentations chapter 4, verses 4, Lamentations 4, verse 7. Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. In Hebrew, kapira has a double meaning: to scratch, engrave, inscribe, destroy, or to increase, add to, and rebuild. And we know the color of a sapphire gem is a blue. And we know that this is representative to Israel. In A, the heavenliness of God manifestation, and speaks of divine righteousness. And we know the Hebrews wore a hem of blue on their garments to remind them of their heavenly origin. And we can read this in Numbers 15. Starting at verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in their borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Again, I am the Lord your God. And B, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, as so do the stripes, the inward parts of the belly. Proverbs 20:30. Turn over to Deuteronomy 32:39. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, and I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. But we considered these two names. What significance can we find in them? As it relates to them directly, the couple's name was not lived up to, in that Bible names, we know, signify something. And we might consider that the favor and the grace of Yah to be in the Sapphira, to destroy and rebuild by its blue wound of healing the inward parts of the ecclesia, which was seen to be still possessed with the ways of flesh and needing stripes and cleansing away of evil. And we certainly see the example made an impression on the ecclesia in verses 5 and verses 11. Thus them and us must face the fact that God deals with sin, especially ecclesial members' deceit and lack of integrity, as we see here in this example. And sometimes the consequences are immediate. Look over in Joshua 6, verses 17 through 19. Joshua 6, 17 through 19. And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. One more. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Over Joshua 7, verses 10 through 15. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. And then down to verses 20 and 21. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. And 24 through 26. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. And they had stoned them, after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And back in Acts 5, in verse 11, we read that great fear came upon the ecclesia, the whole assembly. The ecclesia and those who had not yet joined. And this fear came on all, one, because of the discernment of the heart, and two, the power of judgment unto death, which was administered at the hands of Peter and the other apostles. Yet, these all continued with one accord. Coming from the expositor, the Acts expositor, on page 23, verse 14, reads, this is a significant phrase in the opening chapters of Acts, indicating the unanimous relationship of the believers and their desire for firm association. The one accord spirit of the early ecclesia was seen in the unity of prayer, worship, gathering in fellowship, praise, witnessing, obedience, determinations. And this unity reflected the harmony established in the singing of the temple service of Solomon, and is the example to be followed by true disciples. Ephesians 4. Verses 3 and verses 13. Ephesians 4, verse 3 and 13. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith, of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Such unity, based upon a common understanding of truth and a maintenance of his standards it demands, is such a beautiful feature of ecclesial life. It should reflect the unity and the single-mindedness of the angelic community which is in heaven. All things common in prayer, in their worship, in their gatherings, in fellowship, as well as in praise, and also in their witnessing, their obedience, their determinations, their hopes, and their desires. So as our Creator looks down from heaven upon this weary globe and its inhabitants, and especially the Ecclesia, the 21st century Ecclesia, I believe there is much grief and sadness associated with the oneness in Christ. So many have strayed from the truth set before us now, and because of many reasons. So, will he find the faith when he comes? A sad comment, but the following away will continue until he comes. God hateth divorce. And if we estrange ourselves from the Ecclesia, and we are not under his care, and we are not under his guidance, good things are probably not going to happen. And we are all going to be held accountable for what we did and what we didn't do in the Lord's house. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Reads, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Ananias and Sapphira had become reprobates. We are not to provoke God. We are not to frustrate his grace. We must at all times be fully aware of who we are. And we ought to believe and obey God and not men or our own flesh. Jesus Christ is in you, it says in verse 5 that we just read. He is in you and he is in I and he is here with us now. So they were oblivious to the fact that they were not even in the right place. That's a scary thought. Revelations 3:8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Our path has to remain clear, so that we are ready for our judgment immediately after our death. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Sadly, the entire assembly would have ultimately witnessed the result of sin. And don't we all need reminders of the impulses of the flesh? Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. Back in Acts chapter 5, when we consider the apostles, their authority was unquestionable, truly remarkable men, the courage, their bravery, the faith, their discipline. And these men having the Holy Spirit, they had the power of God to perform miracles and wonders while still yet being flesh. They showed the evidence of God was with them to make apparent to the people that the power of God was real, to show that he is a God of love and mercy, and that he is not willing that any should perish. Thousands upon thousands of people were saved by the apostles, and they were continuing daily with one accord, blessing and praising God. A couple verses we're going to read over in Psalms 34, 1 through 3. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalms 35, 27 and 28. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Psalms 40, verses 16 and 17. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Over in Luke 24, verses 50 through 53. Luke 24, 50 through 53. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And a couple more in Acts 2, verses 46 and 47. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the ecclesia daily such as should be saved. And then one more verse in 4:21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all glorified God for that which was done. Continually magnifying God. Magnified in verse 13, back in Acts 5, means to make or declare great, increase, or extol. And thinking upon this word magnify, we have to ask ourselves, are we living up to it? Are we truly extolling our Heavenly Father and declaring how great He is? Are we rejoicing at these opportunities that we have to meet together, to sing praises, and to discuss the Word? The lesson for us is to be continual. In all these verses we just read, in the Psalms and the Acts, the common factor is for us to be continually praising and blessing God's name. Continually keeping our minds in focus on what we say and do, and guiding them in accordance to God's Word. We should be coming to meeting with an enthusiastic spirit, which is contagious and inspiring, uplifting one another with this same spirit of grace and favor. In verses 14 through 16, back in Acts 5, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. They were enlightened to the gospel, and most accepted it. Not all were baptized, but all did realize the authority of the apostles was from Yahweh. And as they gathered round to see these great wonders and these miracles, marveling that these men had the power even over life and death, thousands of people gathering in the streets to witness these signs, and there was even the superstitious who sought only relief from this life's woes, with no hope for the life everlasting to come. who would not receive the healing favor of the Spirit. Not every soul from Jerusalem or the cities around that were sick and vexed were healed. It was only those whose faith in his name hath he made them whole. Acts 3:16. In his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Mark 16:15-18. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This same spirit of favor and grace will be revived at the time of Christ and his saints when the kingdom is finally established, and peace and safety will be on the earth from the previous wars, years of wars and commotion, and finally of the total destruction of the kingdoms of men. Zechariah 14:9-11. And the Lord shall be king over all of the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up, inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Haniel unto the king's winepresses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. The gospel had been preached by their Messiah, yet they did not believe. What a sobering thought that these chosen ones were lost, caught up in the lies of the false prophets and the teachers. Romans 1:1-7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And then down to 16, to the end of the chapter. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We all know the judgments of God. So we cannot let ourselves be caught up into the things of this world. We must be aware of our surroundings and who and what is going on all around us. We have to stand up for the truth, and let us consider for a moment the boldness that Peter and the other apostles had. It was not the Holy Spirit that made them to speak or even to risk their lives by standing up to those high priests and the other leaders who had great authority. They were supported by the Spirit power to decipher, to heal, to cast out demons, but their characters supported by faith and their good works. Where do we stand? We all have a responsibility to uphold God's standards, which we all agreed on to when we were baptized into His saving name. All signs are pointing to the nearness of Christ's coming, so we must needs work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, not fearing what man can do, but the power of the living God. In closing, I'll read Acts 5, starting at verse 35. Acts 5, picking up at 35. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. We will now enter into our memorial portion of our service. We will stand and sing hymn number 157. Wherever, Lord, thy people meet, there they behold the mercy seat. Where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Hymn number 157. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. As we approach the table of our Lord, I would like for us to remember and focus on, for a moment, on his suffering, and also the extreme determination that he had to be this ultimate sacrifice for us, for man. And Jesus being the Son of God, but we know also the Son of a man, was made of flesh and blood. And he was tempted, again, such as us, and he suffered like us. Jesus prayed unto God that he would be saved from death, so it is obvious that he would taste of death as all other men have and will. In all of Jesus' life, if he had everything just handed to him and given to him, he would have never known what temptation was. And how can he who sits on the right hand of God know how we feel? Jesus, we know, was of Adam's race, and the same condemnation was put on him as well as us. And he shared this by partaking of this same physical nature, but he was released of it by his obedient act of sacrificing his life. Look over in John chapter 6, and read verses 52 through 58. John 6, 52 through 58. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread, this is that bread, which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever." We know that this was hard for the Jews to understand. They were forbidden to drink blood. But this was only a hard saying for them because they were only thinking of the physical life. They weren't thinking spiritually. In Leviticus chapter 17, verses 10 through 16, it is recorded that the children of Israel were told not to eat blood or that they would be cut off. And this they did in respecting and honoring life. But now they are told to dishonor this ordinance, and we can see how they might become confused. Verse 11 says that it is the blood that maketh an atonement. The Jews didn't have proper understanding of his death and what it represented, but we do. His body slain on a tree to bear our sins. He poured out his blood as the covering for sin and would be perfected in 3 days. Sin cannot be covered without the shedding of blood, and Christ paid the price so that we can be brought back to God. It was so necessary for Christ to live and die according to each passage that he had learned from Scripture to redeem us as well as himself from the condemnation which we inherited by birth through the line of Adam's race. Christ felt all of the effects of this nature that we carry, and he shared the same consequence that will pass upon all men, except his death would break that power that could hold everyone eternally. What a tremendous amount of pressure that he must have felt in order that he may save all that were in him. Without his sacrificial death, we know that there would be no resurrection, and all intents to save mankind would all be in vain. Hebrews 13, verses 12 through 21. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. His own blood, in which we have redemption through, also, by which comes the forgiveness of our sins, was the only way the new covenant could be established. If Christ would have failed, the prophets of old, all their dedication, all their sacrifices would have been of no use, and there would have never been the opportunity to arise from their graves and stand before the Lamb of God. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God himself was helping his beloved Son, because he was also determined to redeem sinners. This takes nothing away from the works of Christ, because he himself has suffered, being tempted, and is the captain of our salvation, made perfect through suffering. He was in all points tempted like us, yet without sin. God was able to give up his Son because of his love for mankind, and he requires of us that in order for us to be saved, we must be baptized. Most of us have seen, believed, and we have made this lifetime commitment. And our belief must be followed by obedience. Our baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we recognize that our total immersion underwater, symbolically we die and we are buried, and we now accept that we should walk in newness of life. Baptism symbolizes the death of Christ, and the death of Christ being sacrificial, his blood being shed, the requirement for remissions of sins was met. We also should commit our lives to God as a living sacrifice, to suffer with the brethren rather than to enjoy the pleasures of fleshly and worldly lust. If we fight sin during our probation period, we can be forgiven through Christ and cleansed from this unrighteousness. And if accounted worthy, we will receive eternal life as the gift of God through our Master and our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord, who who it is at this time that we focus our minds and point all thoughts towards his life, towards his obedience of his life-saving mission, and his humbleness as the Son of Man. He let the soldiers place a crown of thorns on his head. He allowed them to hit him in the head and to be spit upon. And he was mocked. Nails beaten into his hands and feet. This he endured for us. So it is with a humble and a meek heart that we remember our Savior and the works that he accomplished. Now turn to our instructions in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, picking up at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We could stand, and we will have a prayer for the bread. Brother Daniel, could you offer that? We will stand and have a prayer for the wine, Brother Dave, could you offer that? If I could ask everyone to briefly stay for a few minutes to discuss the dates for the end of the year picnic. In closing, we will sing Anthem 32. I will extol thee. And closing prayer, Brother Bill, could you offer that?